6 o'clock. Right. We are on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. We are up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 21st line from the top. Vayash by Yeshua. The last word of the line is Yeshua. Vayash by Yeshua be'esa hilemar. We're now going to talk about the story of Yerichai. The Braisa said that Yerichai was stricter than Eri Zachas. They destroyed it. Not only did they destroy the things that were detached, but they burnt everything that was attached as well. Trees, vegetables, all other things that were attached as well. Vayash by Yeshua be'esa hilemar. And Yeshua made an oath that they sang. He made everybody swear the oath. Ara ra'ish l'fnei Hashem. Cursed is the person in front of Hashem, Asher Yokum Bubonas Yerazais, who will get up and build this city, Eshiwichai. The B'chayre Yisadena, with his oldest son, he will lay the foundation, meaning Rahman al Islam. He will lose his oldest son when he lays the foundation. Ubitzirai Yatsim Dulaseha. And with his youngest son, he will put up the gates of the city. Basically saying that he's going to lose all his children, Rahman al Islam, if he builds Yerichai. Tanya. Now the Brice is bothered by the Lushan as the ir hazais es Yerichai. What is the double Lushan? Either say as the ir hazais and we know what it's referring to Yerichai, or just say es Yerichai. What's as the ir hazais es Yerichai? Tanya, we learned in the Brice, lo Yerichai Hashem Yeracheres, lo Yeracheres Hashem Yerichai. One cannot build Yerichai and call it a different name, the location, and call it a different name, nor can one build a different city and name it Yerichai. Either way, there will be a curse. Yeshua cursed not only the location together with the name, but either the location or the name. That's what he did. I don't know. Rashi, Vayash be Yeshua Lema Ara Ish. Ukron Kadarish of Azub of Bukhari Yisadena Obi Tira Yatsub Dalaseha. With his oldest one, he will lay the foundation. With his youngest one, he will put up the gates. Shiyamid Laseha Yamas Bnei HaKatan. His youngest son will die when he puts up the gates. You cannot build this city called by a different name. If he builds a different city and he calls it Yerichai, it's also to build. He wanted the name of Yerichai to be erased forever. Chio Beis Eli built as Yerichai, the Yam of Shalachav. Eli is a lashon of Shua. It's called the Beis Eli because he transgressed the oath. Now, before we move on, I just want to point out that the Achrenim point out that once Yerichai was rebuilt, which it was, by the Knanim, was rebuilt. Once it was rebuilt, it was even rebuilt in the time of Navi already. It was already rebuilt before the story of Achav happened. There's no issur to live in Yerichai or to build a house in Yerichai. Meaning, theoretically speaking, today, you could move to Yerichai, they could even build houses in Yerichai. The city's already rebuilt. Whatever oath was violated, was violated. I'm not passing a local Lamaisa, but from my research so far, I mean, it seems to show that there's no issue to build a house in an existing city called Yerichai. Or if someone were to build a Yerichai somewhere in Kansas, Jericho, Kansas, it would be, even though the person did it, it's violating Yeshua's oath, because no city is supposed to be built called Jericho, Yerichai. However, there's no issue to live there or to build a house there. That's what the Achrenim seem to say. Again, I'm not passing a local Lamaisa. It is not brought anywhere in the Rambam, this issue of rebuilding Yerichai. It's not Paskin. That's stupid a question. Why not? Because I want to say that, I know all kinds of different roots and stuff, but that's the halacha, I think, the halacha Lamaisa. Anyway, what happened was, the Yom Bona, right, the Chsiv. Bono Yechiel Beis Eli as Yerichai. He built Yerichai. Now, he did not build Yerichai where Yerichai is located. That Achrenim seemed to say had been done before his days. But he built another city and he called it Yerichai. He, at least the way the Achrenim learn, again, there's many Mepharshim, so what I'm saying now is the opinion of some. Chiel did not understand that the oath of Yeshua should encompass any city being called Yerichai. He understood it to mean to rebuild the city in its location with its name. did not understand this Gemara that we just said, that the oath encompasses even rebuilding any other city, building any other city, and giving it a name, Yerichai. Well, he built a city, and he called it Yerichai. And, Vadhiram Bechaira Yazda, and he laid the foundation, and he lost his oldest son, Vadhiram, Umezgub Tzirai Hitzim Delaseha. And with his younger son, Zgub, he put up the gates. Tanya, we learned, in a Braisa. Yes.
Why do we say this is a curse rather than a nevuah?
That's a very good question. The Akhwanim asked this question. Why is it a curse? Why isn't it a nevuah? The truth is, one could make the argument that it was a nevuah. One could make the argument, except he wrote Arur Ha'ish. Usually Arur Ha'ish is a curse. Vayashba Arur Ha'ish. If it's a nevuah, there's no reason for him to make an oath. You understand what I'm saying? That's the Akhwanim do deal with it. Was he saying a fact, this is going to happen, and this is going to be the consequences? Or was he saying, it doesn't have to happen, but if it dare happen, this is the consequences? They do talk about this. Let's just move on here a little bit. That's the Gemara. This, Tanya, we learn. Vaviram Bechaira Rasha Lahayle Lomayd. Vaviram Bechairai, he didn't have to understand. Vavizgub Tzirai Hayle Lomayd. Vavizgub, his youngest one, he should have understood. Now, what's bothering the Gemara is that we're calling Aviram a Rasha. What did Aviram do wrong? His father did something wrong. Rachman al-Litzlan, he lost his children based on his action. Why is he Aviram called the Rasha? In fact, the Gemara, Aviram was good for my oven. What did they do? That the Gemara haki kamar. Aviram b'chayra ha'ile lumud la'isa Rasha. Chil, the Rasha, should have figured out that this is wrong by losing his first son. Meaning, if he made a mistake and he thought that Yeshua's oath does not go in any other city called Yerichai, he should have gotten a quick study. When he lost his oldest son, when he put the foundation down, he should have understood, hey, maybe Yeshua's curse does apply here. And he didn't stop. Right? Let me finish. Bizgub Tzira, I'm sorry. Baviram Bechaira Ha'ilin Lumud La'isa Rasha. Bizgub Tzira. He should have understood that he should have stopped at that point and not continued on to lose all his other children along the way. Yes, Dr. Schwab.
Were the Aviram and Achil and the other children above or below them?
So this is where they get involved. This is what the problem is. Let's do Rashi first, and we'll come back to this. Dr. Rashi, Aviram, Mechaira Yisda, Aviram Rasha Kishameis, Aviram HaRasha, at that point, he didn't understand it. But at the end, he should have understood it. And the answer is, he should have understood, not that they are Rishayim, he should have understood. Okay. So here, the Achrayim deal with this question. Was Aviram over Bar Mitzvah, or over 20, whatever the shear would be? At what point does the Pashtus over Bar Mitzvah, at what point is the son still being punished by the father? Now, if the way Corey learns that it was a nevuah, this would answer that question. He wasn't saying that he was going to be punished by the loss of his sons. He was saying, of a nevuah, this is what's going to happen. At the time when he builds it, his oldest son will die. Not that he was cursing, but he was saying a statement of what was going to happen. That answers this question. Because that he's not punishing Aviram because his father laid the foundations. He is foretelling a prophecy that when this happens, the older son will die, and when this happens, the younger son will die. And he's just saying a prophecy. That's one of the reasons some of the Achrayim want to learn that there is a prophecy at work over here. Others want to say that they were all under Bar Mitzvah. They were older and younger children, but all under the age of Bar Mitzvah at the time that they died. Meaning, maybe by the time he finished building Yerichai, Aviram would have been 20, I don't know. But it makes no difference. Aviram was 12 or 11 or 10 when it all started. That's another way out of it. That's what they do discuss this issue of how old was Aviram when this, and that's when they get involved in your question. this a prophecy or a curse?
No,
yes.
Rami.
I'm sorry. Yes, Rami. Yeah.
No, I don't understand the whole thing.
Okay.
This individual, first of all, we're calling Russia, this individual did not think it would apply to this situation.
Yeah, but he
right?
should have gotten a quick statement.
Well, he didn't understand. So, well, let's find out. Were there any people in that neighborhood, any rebuttal, any people that... someone told him, you're not allowed to do it? And he said, oh, I don't care. Is that what happened?
No.
Then I can't understand it then.
No, Chil wasn't a Malach. Achav was a Malach. Chil was a friend of Achav. Good friend. Chil was an Eved of Edizara, by the way. He had a good record. According to the Medrash, he's the one that hid. His ultimate death himself happened by Leo Bahar Karmel. According to the Medrash, he was the one that hid under the Mizbeach of the Baal, trying to light the fire and got bitten by a snake. When they tried to get the fire started, they arranged somebody to hide in the Mizbeach that was going to light the fire. He was the one, according to the Medrash. So, I mean, he has a illustrious record over here that he's very... But the Gemara doesn't bring those stories. Your question is a good question. I guess the pshat is, but Lamai said Yeshua cursed, and Yeshua's curse is Chal. Anyway,
and well, that's something else, then he's not a Russia then.
He was a Russia anyway. He was a Russia.
It seems like he's called a Russia because of this mind.
I understand what you're saying, but the Gemara is saying that he should have learned at the first point. I mean, the Gemara is saying, in retrospect, he was a Russia. He didn't learn.
And if he would have, what could he have done? Let's see. He started the city.
He could have stopped. He could have stopped.
And if he stopped, the new one would have been not.
No, then he wouldn't have built it, and his younger son wouldn't have died. Again, are you working with a nevuah or with a curse? Pick your side here.
When
you can't go on both ends from both sides
asked,
of the issue.
Was it nevuah? I wouldn't even thought to ask that question.
Good. That's why we have Corey here to ask that question.
No, what I'm saying is, I don't know what that means. It was a nevuah. What do you mean that someone it has to happen?
No, nevuah doesn't. Whatever happens with every prophecy, Yeshua was saying a prophecy that one day this was going to happen. I don't know. I guess he didn't answer Shiloh, exactly. Okay, that's the Gemara. Yes, doctor, you had a question? That's the Gemara Baitre. Mamash Mishnamer Babirim Bechaira Eini Deish Yisgub Tzirai. This is a new question. I mean, if it already says that Abiram is his oldest, why does it have to say Yisgub is his youngest? I mean, obviously, Abiram is the oldest, Yisgub is the youngest. That's the Gemara. The Torah is trying to tell me that he buried all his children in between as well. As the city was being built, they kept on dying. So the Torah says, there were more than two. And they all died, and he finally buried his youngest after he buried everybody else on the way. The Gemara Vaiter, Rashi, let's catch up. Rashi, any day, she scoops tira milsa bapi navshu, it's its own question. With the midrash, and mimash mishnem, bapir, and machai, any day, she scoops tira, right? Now, Tamil, she scoops tira, she kai, and vaylach, and bapir, and vat scoops. She was sorry, mikulam, he was the youngest of all. Alchav, shush, vene, have
it. One more thing also. If you're not a, who says that you're not a master construction person? Who said maybe, Ashurbana means the person who built the city. In Cleveland, maybe it was Grover Cleveland, I don't know who it was.
Maisha Cleveland, yes.
Well, I don't know. But what? Who has the determination? Building a house does not make me, I built the city.
I got it. Chil went and built the city.
I'm saying it because of the question you had about Jericho, Kansas, whatever it is.
Okay.
What was that to do with the city? Was named already. What did you do to add to it?
As I said, I just wanted to point out that there's no incident to live in Yericho today or build a house in Yericho. That's what my intention was.
No, even if building a house has anything to do with building a city.
I'm trying to say it's not. Again, I was trying to avoid a question. If it bothers you that I said it, just delete what I said. I was trying to avoid somebody asking me, can somebody live in Yericho today? Can somebody build a house in Yericho today? I thought someone was going to ask this. So to avoid the question, I said that the Achrayim said there's no Isser. That's all I said. There's no Isser, but you're not building the city.
There wasn't a city.
See, that's exactly why I had to say
that. I asked that yesterday.
What?
If you're allowed to build
Yericho. No, you're not. We just went through this.
Okay, so
But the city is built. Now somebody wants to build a house. That's not called building the city. That's all. That's what I'm writing today.
But if he moves out with 50 people, then he's built
a city. Again, the city is built already. I don't know what the shear would be. And it's not. The city is built. Adding a house is not called building a city. That's all I'm saying. That's what my advice. Akav Shush B'nei Havi. Akav was a friend of Chiyos. It was more than a friend. Rashi says a close friend. Shush B'nei is usually a very close friend. Havi Asi Iyu V'Liyo L'Misho B'Shlama B'Tamya. What happened was both him and Eliyahu HaNavi ended up being Menachem Avu. The morale was bothered why Eliyahu HaNavi went to be Menachem Avu. Why in the world is he showing up in Chiyo Eli's house, Beis Eli, to be Menachem Avu for the guy who built Yericho and lost his children? So the morale says, because Lamai said at the end of the day, Chiyo still believed that he didn't violate the oath. He still believed that what he had done was not what Yeshua had meant. And therefore, Eliyahu felt that it was in his place to go be Menachem Avul to explain that, you know, I hate to break the news to you, Chiyo, but you can't blame the Rabbanim Shlomo, you have to blame yourself. But that is how the Maral explains it. I'm not saying there are no other explanations, but that's how the Maral explains it. So Rashi, Yaakov, Shai Shvanei, Ayva, Shulchil, Hoi, Yaakov, he was his friend. Beitanya? Yes, I mean Beitanya, Summer Guys Beitanya. It means the Avul's house. It's called Mitaima because you give him words, you taste him with words. Matimim Isai. You try to give him some spice with words, Manachmai, to console him. Become a duchta kusiv Rashis Rabbi Tanya Beloy Ayan. Beloshim Avu. It's a Loshim of Avelis. Yasiv Kamar.
A couple of days too late.
Yasiv Kamar. And he was sitting and saying, does he say who was sitting and saying? Was it Eliyahu or Echiel?
Achav.
Achav? Achav
said.
Achav said. Achav said. Domekimel Yeshua Hachilot. Perhaps this was the oath of Yeshua. La Yerichai Hashem Yerachares. La Yerachares Hashem Yerichai. So Achav tells Echiel, you know, you might have violated the oath here. That's why you got what you got. Amal Eliyahu in. So Eliyahu said, exactly. Amal Eliyahu, so Achav says these words. Hashtalu v'tasu the Moshe l'kimakayma. So they got a problem. Moshe Rabbeinu cursed the Jews, and it didn't happen. It says the Yidden will go off the Derech and serve by the Zara. It wasn't really Moshe, it was the Torah. Hashem will get angry at you. He will hold back the skies. There won't be rain. Now, who Gavra, referring to himself, he has placed by the Zara in every furrow in Eretz Yisrael. And the rain doesn't allow people to bow down to them. It's so muddy that you can't even bow down to the Avodah Zarah. And what happened to the curse? Moshe Rabbeinu said Avodah Zarah will cause the stopping of rain. And here it is. Avodah Zarah is prevalent. It's all over the place. And there's rain aplenty. There's so much rain that's impeding people from serving Avodah Zarah. And Levitasa the Yeshua Tamida Mekaimai? And when Yeshua, his Talmud, curses someone, that works? That was Achav's question. Now, the real answer to Achav's question, the Achrayim have many, many different approaches. The Marsha says that it says that Kodesh Baruch Hu will wait the Neshantem Ba'aretz. You have to be there for a period of time before he starts imposing his major punishments. And that's 852 years, whatever this year is, of a Neshantem. And therefore the time had not come for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make those punishments. That's what some want to say. That's what the Marsha says. The Malbim says a very interesting point. The Malbim says that at points Klai Yisrael can sink to the level that no longer does HaKadosh Baruch Hu deal with them in a straightforward tit-for-tat way. Meaning, this pasuk of Achar Rav Hashem Bechem V'Atzos Shemayim is when Avodah Zarah starts. When Avodah Zarah starts, there's a tit-for-tat answer. But when Avodah Zarah becomes so prevalent, and everybody's so removed from Hashem, there's a kind of hester upon him, even though there wasn't really hester upon him in those days, but there's a kind of Rav Hashem saying, I won't deal with them anymore in a tit-for-tat way, it'll be more in a hidden way. And therefore, the V'atzer Hashem Shemayim no longer applies. Again, there are different Achreinim that answer different Terutzim. The Mashal says the time for the punishment had not arrived yet. For whatever reason, the Kodesh Baruch Hu's curse did not work. Achav says, I don't get it. If Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rebbe, quotes the Rabbanu Shlalom, or writes in his Torah, writes in the Rabbanu Shlalom's Torah by dictation of the Rabbanu Shlalom, that if there's no Avedizara, there's no rain, and that's not happening, so why when Yeshua cursed did it happen right away? That was Akiva's question. Let me catch up with Rashi. So Rashi, Uncle Telem, the Telem, Shura Varuga, Umakim Gavaya, who it's a very high place. The mud was going from the great mount of rain. It was so muddy roads they couldn't even go serve Avodah Zarah. The rain made the roads impassable. Yes, doctor.
What?
Levatasa, the curse.
So that is interesting because it's not a curse, and the Gemara seems to be conflating, in answer to the question asked before, the Gemara seems to be conflating curses and nevuahs.
Again, it is a...
Outside of this Gemara, I've never seen anyone refer to the Tukakas as curses.
Rashi does many times.
Rashi does more than my memory. But in any case, I think most would accept it also as a nevuah. And so there seems to be...
I don't know if you're right or not in that in this area. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Rabbi,
yes.
This may be just very tangential, but how is this an appropriate conversation in a Shiva house? To speak in front of a father who just buried two sons, about why it happened and what he did wrong. Why should they wait until after
shipping? Well, you know, it's interesting. I don't have an answer. I can only answer one of two ways. But again, I don't know this is fact. Number one, maybe this conversation took place as they left. As they walked out of the house, Akko might have turned to Leo and Avi and said, I just don't get this. Or perhaps this was the topic of the discussion of the day. Was Chiel a victim of this curse? Akko says at the Shiva house, this is what happened. Chiel, what happened was the curse of Yeshua. I have no answer. If it happened right in front of him, why they weren't concerned about his feelings, I don't know.
I was wondering whether Gemara would say that it happened and they went to his house. And
but that's where they met. And Leo and Akko weren't like, you know.
Why is that detail important unless you're there? These weren't simple people. So, you know, I understand.
No, but he's saying, why did they do it in front of Chiel? He's suffering now. Wait till afterwards. I don't have a good answer. Anyway, let's go back to
it. Had a bit of a turnaround. First he said it was, and then he couldn't understand it.
Well, he said it was and doesn't understand why it should happen. Why is this happening and other curses are not happening? That's what his question is. His question is, you know, it's raining, so I thought curses don't happen. So what happened?
That isn't the lumdus. That's not for sure the lumdus that Gil had, right? That's what Akav has. That was his lumdus.
It's just his question. He has a question.
But I'm saying he's not explaining what was Gil's lumdus. Well, why he
no, he's telling Gil again. The Maral explained that Gil did not think the curse went on that. So Akav is saying perhaps the curse did go on that. And Leo says, you're right, the curse did go on that.
Okay, now he's going outside.
I have no idea. I added that. I don't know. Then the conversation continues, and Akav turns to Leo and he says, I don't understand why the curse worked. It was the curse, but why did it work? Why is my tribe's curse not working and this curse is working? And Eliyahu HaTishbi from the inhabitants of Gilad said, Chai Hashem L'kei Yisrael, I swear in the name of Hashem, Em Yitalu Matzev, there'll be any rain, Kim L'fi Dvorai, the pasuk says. It ain't going to be no rain and no dew. The Gemara says that it did continue to do, but, that's what the Gemara says in Tainus, but there will not be any rain anymore till I say there should be rain. You're right. The curse should happen. It's going to start happening today. That's what he said. Boy Rachmi, well, how what happened? Eliyahu davened, the mitra. He got the key of rain. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him the key of rain. And then he got up and he left. Rashi. The key of rain. Vayitvar Hashem Eilu Blamer, Lech Mitzah, Hashem told him to go away, Upanisu L'chol Kedman, go to the east, V'nistar to B'nachol Chris, he should hide in Nachol Chris. That was the place he had to hide because Achim was out to kill him. V'arvim Mavim Le'lechem U'basim Abayker, and the ravens brought him bread and meat every morning. Where they got the meat is in Gemara and Chulim, not going to get involved in now where they provided the meat. Is it here? Yes, it is. Mehechamer of Yudah Merabim Beitavchi Da'achav. They brought it to him from the butcher's, from Achav's kitchen. Question is how he could eat it. That's the big story in Chulin. The Chayra Achav was an Eben Amenazara, his shechita is not kosher. So how in the world do you deliver Achav's food to Leo Anavi to eat? So Taisus over there, I mean, the Maskana of the Gemara there was a Kadosh Baruch Hu told him he's allowed to eat it at this point, but the Gemara discusses at length in Chulin. So we'll leave it for Chulin. Rashi.
They were enemies before Achav and Eliyahu.
I don't know, but Achav was not a happy camper with this. But this went on a long time.
What happened because what?
Because he took away rain. He cursed that there should be no rain. He stopped the rain. Vahimi Kate to Yamim.
The Marsham had decided, for whatever reason, the Marsha or whatever, the Mara, whatever the reason, not to bring rain at this time. Because Elio was upset with Achav's dialogue, so now
Tower of Atzadik.
His mind, so to speak.
I mean, it's so to speak, and it's Tower of Atzadik. Correct.
The Power of Atzadik, because the Atzadik is upset with what?
Because the Atzadik feels that it has to happen this way, and he feels. I think if we give the Gemara a chance, it gets your question's going to get stronger.
If the Tzaddik wants Rachamim, then the Rebbe Nishan will listen to him.
Well, here he's
upset with the Russia.
The Tzaddik wanted din.
That's scary.
It sure is. It sure is.
I mean, hide under the table.
Havizor begachlasim shleitichva. The Mishnah says, be careful in the coals of the Talmud Chacham not to get burnt, because it's not a good thing to play with them, because there can be din. That's what it's saying here. And we're going to see there's a tine on Achav, on Elio. There's a tine on Elio. Elio is not, we're talking about Elio and Avi. I have to watch my mouth before I say any word, but you have to be careful. But on the other hand, the Gemara is going to say that there's a little bit of a tine on Elio and Avi that he did this. But he's a tzaddik. Again, it's all the story of Eliyahu Bar Karmel is an unbelievable story, and it was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim.
It's a different story.
Right, it's after this story. It's the end of this story.
The Rebbeinu Shalom is now bringing in.
Right, because of Eliyahu's request. Correct. That's what the Gemara is clearly saying. And we're going to see, let's give the Gemara a chance. We're going to see that there is a time, seems to be, and again, I have to word myself very correctly. That there seems to be a little bit of a tine on the Leo on Avi. Let's see how the Gemara works.
His request was to have no rain.
No rain, so he says. Till he says there should be no rain.
Because there's so much of Avodah Zorah at that time?
Because he's reacting to Achav saying, look, that Moshe Rabbeinu's curse didn't work and Yeshua's curse does work.
People doing Avodah Zorah at that time?
Yes. Yes, he said that. Again, it's clear that without his tefillah would not have happened. That's clear. He did it for a reason. Of course, Eliyahu did it for a reason. Vayirachmi, he died. Okay, we did it. Vayidvarish, we did that already too. Vayimikets Yamim was at the end of years. Vayivash Hanachal, the stream dried out. Kilohoya Geshem Baritz. Even the Chazadik Atzar of Alma, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the world is suffering, and it was time to bring rain back into the world, it was trying to bring Rachmin back into the world. Siv Vayidvarish Hem Elof Lamer, Kum Lech Tzerfasa. He sent him to Tzerfasa. And it says, the son got sick and he died. So Leo turns and davens Hashem to give him the ability to resurrect, to bring back the dead child. Amr Leh, so they told him in Hashemayim, Shalosh Mefteches Venimtzeru L'Shliach Shechaya L'Shok Shemim V'Shok Tchias HaNesim. So they told him there's three keys that the Rebbeinu Shlom keeps by himself. It's more direct than other things. And I can't get involved in what that means because I don't understand it. But there are three keys that are more direct that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds on to. And those three are Shokhaya, birth, the Shokshamim, reign, the Shokhiyas HaMesim. And you took one key, you were given one key. You can't have two. If you want the key of Tchias HaMeitzim, you got to give up your control over the rain. So Yayim Rushtayim Yad Talmud V'Achas Yad Rat, that Hashem gave two away and he's only keeping one? No. Hashem keeps at least two of the three at all times. You want one? Fine, we'll lend it to you. We lent you the key of rain. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I gave you the key of rain, but I ain't giving you two keys at a time. So you want the key of Tchias HaMeitzim? Give back the key of rain. I see her, the shakal her. So he went back, he brought back the key of rain, and he took the key of Tchias HaMeitzim. The Siv, Leicharo al Achav et Namatar. Shem said, go tell Achav, there's going to be rain. But you gave back the key, I'm giving rain. Go tell Achav, there's going to be rain.
The
Zohar
was finished?
No, it wasn't. He was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to punish Klal Yisrael with the lack of rain at that point. He didn't want to do it. Why, I don't know. But he didn't want to do it. Achav, quote unquote, and we're talking about the Rabbeinu Shlalom, forced his hand.
By doing what?
By saying there's not going to be rain till I say there's rain. By davening to Hashem that he should get the key of rain.
Elio or Achav?
I meant Elio. Elio.
And
others'
child died.
So now Elio wants to perform Tchias HaMeitzim. Shem says, give back the key of rain. You can't have both.
Why did he want to perform Tchias
HaMeitzim? He wanted to save his kid. He lived in the house. He wanted to save the kid.
As opposed to anybody else who died?
Yes, because it was the kid in the house where he lived in. He didn't go around being Machai everybody. Every time we have to give this story, the Gemara to evolve the story, we're losing focus because we get all off the tangent.
He did the Tchias HaMeitzim previously on
Chiyos. No, he did not. The Tchias HaMeitzim is not something you use arbitrarily. We don't go around being Machai every mace. He wanted to, I don't know why he wanted to be Machai that lady, but he wanted to be Machai. Okay, let's give the Gemara a chance. Let's get a story and then we'll worry about the questions afterwards. We're losing focus. Rashi. Kivin the Chaz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikitzar Ba'amu HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Yo Lech Sefas L'Gugl HaDavar Shiyachzal L'Metech the Gugl HaDavar to start the ball rolling Shiyachzal L'Metech Shematak the Gemafar Shvazal Shalosh Metechus and Intzul B'Yachliach HaOitzar Shagasham Yesh Metechus and the treasure asked of HaKadosh Baruch Hu their keys U'mastum L'Yad Shluchim HaMamunim and he gave them over to Shluchim. There's three that they don't have shluchim on them. The brachos for the beginning. We wanted it to be more direct. I've kept it from the beginning. I gave it to you. I gave you charge on one of them. Now you want a second key. So therefore, give me back one, you can have the other. Darish Ahugalullah Kamedra of Chizda. Mashal Yod Madaber Daimah, the Gavid, the Tarkil, the Galay. He locked the door, the Avdul and Tarkim, and then he lost the key. Meaning, he didn't get to open the door. Somebody else opened the door. Eliyahu never opened the door. Eliyahu was taken, the key was taken away from him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ve'etna Matar. It's not going to be your word that's going to bring the rain. It's going to be my decision to bring the rain because I'm taking the key back from you. You want the key of Tchias HaMeitzim? You trade it in. Basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Eliyahu, your tefillah of din helped. Now it's time to go back to Rachman. Whether you understand it, whether you don't understand it, that's how the world's going to run. And therefore, I'm taking the key back. But instead of taking the telling Eliyahu, you must give it back to me. Eliyahu is a tzaddik, and the power of a tzaddik is very great. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, quote unquote, Kaviyahu, traded with him. Rashi, the Tarkin Legalish Yeshasim Sar Shaloi, the Abdul Mufteki lost the key. Meaning he lost the key means the key was lost from him. Kak Asa Leo, Nol Lashar Mutter, the Besaim Abed Amateh Shum Shamim. He had to lose the key. He wasn't in charge of the key anymore, so he nipped the Hashar of Shamatra Yadai. The Ksib Lecha Royal Achav Ze'etna Mutter, the Ksib Betay Mutter, you should give rain. I will give rain. You're no longer in charge. Zuck the Gemara Weiter. It's very possible. It's very possible. Again, we're dealing with very big people.
He gave up din because he was faced with one child, and so he says, Rav Anishon says, you have to, for one child, you're going to have
possible. To give up din. Possible. A reason I want to get to the next Gemara is the next Gemara makes it even stronger, harder to understand. So once we're not understanding things, we might as not really understand them. Darish of Yaisi Mitzipuri. Abel Eliyahu, my leader, my friend, my close leader, Eliyahu, Rabbi Yaisi used to learn Ben Eliyahu HaNavi with Chavrusa. So he called him Abba Eliyahu, that's actually Chavivi Yugdaili, my friend and my like great one. Kabdan Abba. He was a person, how does the Arsko translate Kabdan?
Someone who easily offended and disinclined to let affronts or provocations pass.
Right. Now, this is called a Kabdan. He called him a Kabdan, meaning seemingly saying that had Eliyahu HaNavi not reacted by taking it personal when Achab asked that question, then Klal Yisrael would not have had that period of time without 3 years of rain, which his tefillah caused. And therefore, he was a Kabdan. Now, the Mishnah Brura brings a raya from here to Chavetz Chaim. Why isn't this Lashon Hara? Even if it's true, which it is, if a Natana says that it's true, then how do we say that about a person? Lashon Hara. So the Chavetz Chaim says that it's not Lashon Hara. It's not a bad, meaning this, it's nothing wrong in being a Kabdan, as long as you're following the letter of the law. You're not being cruel, you're not being inhuman, you're not mavram, to say that a person is not a vatran, is not willing to look away, is not considered saying bad about him. Mr. Brewer says it's a fine line, because usually a conversation that says that person is easily offended, usually is followed by someone else standing there and saying, ah, oh, and he said something worse. So that can't be happening. But Rabbi Yaisi was saying that Eliyahu HaNavi was acting like a Kabdan. Now, the way I like to understand it, and I know that people will disagree with me, is that not that his personality was one of Kabdan, but he felt that in that moment, that's what he thought the right Mahaloch was. The right Mahaloch was to exercise that meat of Kabdanus. He felt that's what the world needed. Now, why he's telling the Rebbeinu Shlomo what he feels is right, I don't know. The other way to understand it is that it was a personality trait. And therefore, since he was a Kabdan, therefore, he decided to do it this way. Again, I tend to favor the first one, because I've seen people that don't come to Leo Hanavi's toenails that are able to control their character traits. Why would a Leo Hanavi allow a character trait to dominate his reaction? Therefore, I seem to think that he was it was his feeling that this is what the Klal Yisrael needs at this time. And as a tzaddik, he davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do it that way. Rashi, Hayakabdan, but I want to finish the story before we have questions. Eliyahu used to come visit Rabbi Yaisi. For the next 3 days, Eliyahu does not show up. After Rabbi Yaisi says Eliyahu was a kabdan. When he shows up, Rabbi Yaisi says, why weren't you here the last 3 days? You called me a kabdan? You just proved it. You got upset at me for calling you a Kabdan. Doesn't that show you're a Kabdan? End of story. So, again, if you ask me how I understand it, Eliyahu thought Rabbi Yaisi should be taught how to talk about Eliyahu HaNavi. You don't call Eliyahu. And Rabbi Yaisi's response is, you're exercising again. You're trying to teach me a lesson the way you tried to teach Achav a lesson. That's exactly what I was trying to say. You exercise that midah in trying to teach Achav a lesson, and now you're exercising the same midah and trying to teach me a lesson, which is all I said. The other way of understanding it is that it's a personality trait that manifested itself then and manifests itself now. Again, I have a very hard time accepting that Leo HaNavi lets a his personality get in the way of Karito's reign for 3 years. I honestly believe, Muna Shlema here, this is my firm belief, that Leo HaNavi did not let his personality decide Karito's future. It was his belief that this is what Klal Yisrael needs now, and as a tzaddik, he has the ability to daven for a certain anhaga. And this is what he decided to do. Now, why he decided to do it, again, I don't know, but I don't believe it's a personality. But then again, the Chafetz Chaim says, from here you see that calling a person Kabdan is not Lashon Hara. Right? My way, it's a little bit more difficult to understand. Not calling him a Kabdan, he said he exercised Kabdanus. But the Chafetz Chaim does pass from here that calling a person a Kabdan is not, being a Kabdan is not a midah ra, as the Chafetz Chaim said. Not evil. It's a personality trait Some people are more mavater, some people are more kabdan. It's a reality, not necessarily bad or good, just there's room for both kinds of people. There's some people that are more mavater b'teva, and some people more kabdan b'teva. Not doing anything wrong, he's just insisting on a certain amount of decorum, and a certain amount of formality, and a certain amount of, you know, not being flexible, but that's not Lashon Hara.
Why can't I say kabdan means Lashon makbid? He was makbid.
That's what it means. He was makbid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Through the night and fog of memory, I seem to recall two instances. I seem to recall someone being called a destroying the entire Missouri, including the Barbanel.
No, I said the veracity of the Missouri. Yes, correct. I was correctly quoted.
I also recall learning with someone about 9 years ago in Shemona Parakim, who said in the name of his Rebbe that the Derek Melissa involves.
Which is exactly what I'm saying.
Exactly. That's, one
that's where I got it from.
The first one I couldn't resist. And the second one is exactly
the way I'm understanding
the Rambam in Shemona Parakim, time is on Eliyahu Navi for exactly this, which weakens the word a bit, which is the best way to.
Right. I let me just say what I said. I sent over from Rabbi Weinberg. When the Rambam says that a person should be in the middle of his character traits, not to an extreme, it doesn't mean that a person's personality is in the middle. It means he knows when to exercise each type of characteristic. The person who's in the middle, meaning he's not giving everything away and he's not a miser, it doesn't mean that he's like a 50% guy. It's that he knows when to give and when not to give. That's how my Rebbe understood it. Not pshat, he's not a very giving person and he's not a miser. He is a person who decides what character trait to use by what halacha dictates at that time, what he thinks the Ratzon Hashem is at that time. That is the way my Rebbe explained Derech HaMamutza. Being able to use character when necessary, halacha, not to be anything. You are not a certain thing. You are a person who is using different character traits when necessary. So that's why I understood Elio this way. But again, the Rambam in Shemayna Brachim does say Elio with a kabdam, which seems to say the other way. Again, I have a difficult time when I deal with Elio and Avi. Yes. Especially, I want him to show up at the bris that I go to next time, and I don't want to drive him away by saying anything about him being a kabdam. By the way, he's at every bris. Right? He's at every bris. And the Medrash says he's at every bris because he was the Kanayis Kenasi. So again, yes. Absolutely.
So what?
But it's saying that his personality trait influenced what he did. It's you know, you're talking about a Navi.
It's the same thing. I mean, he is Elio, isn't he?
Yeah, it was Elio. Correct.
That's
two things. First of all, I don't think it's really a contradiction that you can have a trait, that you always act on that trait. You act the trait appropriate, but it's part of you. The other thing is, it seems to me that in terms of reinforcing that it's just appropriate, is Akka is basically stopping. Look, you know, and so he, at that point.
Yeah, but Rabbi Yaisi is saying, Elio Kabdan Haba. Meaning he's trying to say, had he not been a Kabdan, this would not have happened. I mean, I'm quoting a Gemara. I said.
That's what he decided, isn't it?
That's how I understood it. Yes, doctor.
I was actually point out 100% the opposite. Is the two methods of understanding are complete opposites. That the first way of understanding, I'll see Barbara now, is that the nevuah of a Navi is filtered through the personality, has aspects of the personality of the Navi, whereas the understanding of Shemona Brachim by Rav Weinberg is that it has no influence of personality, it is simply that which exactly directs the Rabbanu Shalom directs should be done, whether that would have the appearance of softness or have the appearance of harshness. So actually the two understandings are not similar, they're diametrically opposed.
Right. That's why I picked one over the other. One I can live with much easier.
They cannot coexist.
Right. Something in my advice.
Can we use this thing to
think
of
Ramstein?
People talk about Rosh Yeshivas describing the personality traits of various Rosh Yeshivas. Can we get away with that using the
stock of Ramstein? Ramstein Paskin said it's in the Shemir Salashim. He says that he brings alive in this Gemara. This is the source. calling a person who is not mevater is not saying that he's bad about him. Nothing wrong in being a gadda.
We go to the extreme in describing this relationship is this personality trait.
There are yeshivas that are more rigid in their personality, and that's not anything bad. Again, one has to be very careful because we're walking a very fine line between calling somebody rigid and somebody calling somebody cruel.
I'm not saying using that as
much. No, I'm just saying, it is a Chofetz Chaim is very careful about that. He says, you know, be careful when you use this heter, because especially he says, you're not even allowed to say good about a person in front of somebody. He might react and say, no, he's not. Imagine saying this in front of a person. What do you expect the reaction is going to be? That's what the Chofetz Chaim says. But Rabbi Yossi was telling you a fact. He wasn't waiting for any reactions, and nobody was in the will, yo, and Avi. Right? So, that was a different story. Yes?
I would point out, in respect to the Chofetz Chaim, an infant faith and inability to correct his faith thing, that to apply this would be the same thing as someone with no medical training seeing that a little white pill happens to cure a particular ailment, assuming that every other little white pill does exactly the same thing. And
well, I mean, he's talking about a specific case of calling a person a kabdan. That's what he said.
Yeah, no, which is, Rabbi Yossi.
He's not.
And he's able to do that.
No, but it's not trying to say, therefore you can say other things about people. Therefore you can say a person is a kabdan. Don't do this to this person. He doesn't take kindly. He doesn't have that flexibility. Don't make a joke at his expense, because he does get insulted. Is that Lashon Hara? I'm warning you guys, listen.
Don't mess with him.
Right. You know, some people, they can handle it better. Some people are more kabdan. So I'm telling you guys, do me a favor. Watch yourself. Not to die to make a joke about this guy. He's a kabdan.
It's
not Lashon Hara. That's what the Chofetz Chaim is saying. It's not Lashon Hara. Nothing wrong in being a kabdan. That's what he's trying to say. Because of the Avodah Zarah.
Not because of what he was told?
Oh, Elio here now? He said, yeah, you called me a cop. He said, you just exercised it.
Not
Lashon Hara, but then again, it's not the glowing praise.
It's not a bad thing.
It's not bad, but it's not great.
It's not a positive.
It's not a positive.
It's a negative.
That there's positive, there's neutral, and there's negative. This is neutral.
Really,
again, negative is when it's against the Torah. If it's not against the Torah, it's not negative.
No.
He got angry at Akav because of his kabdanas. The anger was warranted.
So what's the meaning machmir and machmir?
It's a totally different thing. Machmir is between Bein Adam HaMakom, not Bein Adam HaChaveiro. Totally different thing.
Okay, Yossi was also
machped. No, he wasn't. He said, "Leo, you were machped on me. You didn't show up for 3 days."
So he gets a call for a shidduch from says, "I was having with the father. He's like, Tom, I guarantee they don't go out tomorrow."
I mean, Rabbi Yerushalmi.
Again, and if he is, then you don't tell the guy. Are you doing him a favor?
That's a beautiful thing.
You can say he's like an Leo on others.
No.
The chutzpah is like an Elio Anavi. Okay, let me just finish because that we're not going to finish. That's the Gemara. Well, Yidvik v'yad chamum menacherim. Kol zman shirishoim ba'olam harei nat ba'olam. Man rishoim. Who are rishoim? Now we're saying that the rishoim besides here in Idachas, the Mishnah is saying a rule. As long as there is rishoim in the world, there's anger in the world. Which avera triggers that kind of anger? Amar Rav Yosef Ganzi. People who steal. And I'll speak out of Reb Tzadik. Reb Tzadik says, why is it that when we look for a mitzvah that triggers rachmim, we say tzedakah? And when we look for a mitzvah that triggers anger in the world, we say gneva. So he says, Reb Tzadik says, because Ben Adam L'Chaveray does not need kavanas. Kavanas are necessary. Every mitzvah we do between us and the Rabbeinu Shlalem, part of the mitzvah is the action, that's the main part of the mitzvah, but included is the Rachmana Liba Boy. He wants us to daven for certain kavanas. He wants us to learn to know his Torah. There's reasons, and Lev does play a big role in mitzvahs bein adam l'chaveray. However, a mitzvahs bein adam l'chaveray much more depends on the action than on intention. Because It's what did the other guy get stucker? He got stucker. Your intentions were bad. The guy's still buying a meal today. The guy is still getting the same pleasure. The guy gets stolen from. No matter what the guy's intentions were by stealing, the guy lost money. So therefore, Reb Tzadik says, in mitzvah ben adam l'chaveray, actions are much more the percentage of what we look at. Actions are very important in every mitzvah. The most important part of every mitzvah. But in other mitzvahs, ben adam l'malkum, there are other factors. In ben adam l'chaveray, the overwhelming majority of what gets involved is the action itself. Therefore, it creates a karein af. Because intentions play very little role. Did the guy steal? Somebody lost money. Did the guy give tzedakah? Somebody gained money. That's what the Reb Tzadik says in David Tzadik. Let me just finish the next piece of Gemara. Man Rishav, who is the Rishav that we refer to that creates Chareinah? Chareinah, when a Russia arrives in the world, meaning he's not born a Russia, when he becomes a Russia, Chareinah Bali Olam, anger comes into the world. And with the embarrassment comes also more embarrassment. Russia avid min aylam, taiva avid bal aylam. Good comes to the world. Shenemar, v'avoyd v'shoam rina, in the loss of v'shoam, there will be rejoicing. Rosh Hashem Monday morning, 6 o'clock.